Studying in the book of Romans, as we have been for the last few weeks, and it's been a rewarding study for me, and I hope it's been a rewarding study for you. And this morning we will be looking at the latter part of verse 7. But let me read verses 1 through 7 for our encouragement. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk a little bit about grace. We really can't talk too much about grace. Without it, we have no power. We won't make it without the grace of God. And I'm not talking about unmerited favor. There are some people that talk about grace being unmerited favor, and I'm sure that God does. I look at unmerited favor as mercy. When God has mercy on us, that's unmerited favor. Now, the grace of God is the power of God to help us to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so, it's interesting to notice that the phrase, grace to you and peace, or verses that have grace and peace in it, they're used 18 times in the New Testament. I mean, that's important. Paul begins his letters with grace and peace, because those to whom he is writing need both. Grace will give us peace, and we sure don't need grace and turmoil. But the Lord provides us with grace, and then He also provides us with peace. So we see that grace and peace is used 18 times in the New Testament. In 2 John 1:3, it says, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." There are four times when we find the word mercy included in the phrase, grace and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. And we find that mostly in the epistles to the individuals like Timothy and Titus. And so we find not only grace and peace, but we also find mercy. One of the things that we find in as we read the Pauline epistles and others, they end their epistles with grace. And it says grace in Romans 16:24. It's not the last verse in that passage, but it's a closing word. And it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." We need grace and peace. Paul knew we needed grace and peace. The Lord knew we needed grace and peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, I believe, is where grace is defined. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." You've got to be careful with the personal pronouns in here. The Lord's talking in the first part of this verse, and Paul's talking in the last part of this verse. The Lord's not rejoicing in His infirmities. We go to Him because He has strength that we need. But the grace of God will provide us with contentment. The grace of God will provide us with enough. We don't need an additional strength or power. The grace of God will suffice. These words are how this word sufficient is translated in other places in the New Testament. And it was sufficient for Paul, and it's sufficient for us. And why Paul was needing the grace of God was he had a thorn in the flesh. He had a physical problem. It was a messenger of Satan that was buffeting him. And it was not providing very much peace and comfort. And so God gave him, or the Lord gave him, grace. And that grace is the power of Christ. Paul wanted it to rest upon him. And I like that term, rest. I want the grace of God to stick. I don't want it to come and go. I want it to park. I want it to turn off the key, so to speak, and rest upon me. And you want the grace of God to rest upon you. Find a place of acceptance. You know, when I think about rest, I think about being invited to sit down. Like on the bus. I've been riding the bus a little bit lately, and I haven't had to stand, but the point is this: a place of resting, a place of invitation. So we do want the grace of God to rest upon us. Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace. That's one thing that we need to be adamant about and focused upon, is having the grace of God and to be strong in His power upon us. Now, how do we get this grace? Well, there are several factors involved. In Romans 2 and 5:2, it says, by whom, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do we get grace? By faith. There's no other way to get it. We get it by faith. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. The word whom is a personal pronoun referring to the Lord in verse 1. And it's through Him that we are able to find grace. And what does grace help us to do? To stand. And grace also helps us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that's our hope. And we need the grace of God for that hope to be alive. And by the way, this rejoicing is in the middle voice, and it's in the present tense. I'm rejoicing for myself, and I'm doing it all the time. That's what the grace of God will provide for us. Now, in Romans chapter 10 helps us to see how grace comes to us. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now we have discovered what the Word of God is in this here. And the Word of God has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. And you find that in Luke 8. So when you start hearing messages on the coming kingdom, about the hope of glory, ruling and reigning, you know what? This provides us with faith. Faith is not built up when you hear salvation messages. Faith is built up when you hear about the coming kingdom and about ruling and reigning with Him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned, and when I think about reigning, I'm thinking about being in control. I think all of us have experienced sin being in control of our life. And that will lead to death. Even so might grace reign. This is aorist active subjunctive. It may not reign. That's the sad thing. It may not reign or control us through righteousness unto age-lasting life in the coming kingdom age. If grace does not reign in your life and my life, we will not reign in the coming kingdom. That's basically what this verse is saying. And He doesn't give you grace to serve sin. He gives you grace to serve Him, not sin. And so therefore righteousness is necessary right living is necessary. You cannot live in sin and expect the grace of God to be operative in your life. So grace is to reign, and that's the reason why we go to the throne of grace, to submit to the authority of grace in our life. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What that is saying basically is this: we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. He knows about them. He can be touched. And you know what? When we touch Him, what does He provide for our infirmities? Grace. That's what it's there for. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, sin did not have dominion over Him. And we don't have to have sin to be dominion over us. We can break the power of sin by His power. Not our power, by His power. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I look at mercy, obtaining mercy, as appropriating the shed blood for cleansing and deliverance from the bondage of sin, so that we can have the power of Christ on our life. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 gives us some incentives for having grace. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. I look at that phrase as saying this: to enter the kingdom, the rules are set. There's no changing the rules. I mean, how do I relate to the fact that the kingdom's on a foundation that I can't push over? I can't relate to that, but I can relate to the fact that there's a kingdom that I can enter, and it's to enter that kingdom requires certain things from me. And the first thing that it requires of me is to have grace. And it says, let us have grace. It's really, may we have grace. It's in the subjunctive. And because it simply means that we may not have grace. If we're living in sin, we're not going to have it. And if we don't go to the throne of grace, we're not going to get it. And if we're not hearing the preaching of the kingdom, we're going to be short on faith that provides us with the grace that we need. So, may we have grace. And the word have is in the present tense, and that means we need to have it all the time. And that's the reason why we need the grace of God to rest upon us. When it's resting, it's there all the time. And so, and if we have His grace, we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. No grace, no acceptable service. If you don't have grace and you serve God, you're creating wood, hay, and stubble. And you don't want to do that. You want to do it God's way. And that's by His power, by His strength. When we do it His way, who gets the glory? He does. Not us. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And that's simply telling me that God's not stingy when it comes to grace. He's not a tightwad. He's got plenty of it, and He wants to give it to us. Why? That we might, having all sufficiency, that is, contentment, in all things, may abound to every good work. The grace of God will not only provide us with peace, it will also provide us with contentment. Satisfaction. So this is having to do with money and giving. In verse 7, I believe it is, has to do with giving. So if the grace of God is working, you don't need to hold on to the 50% that you're holding for yourself. That is, if you tithe 50%. Tithe and 50 don't go together, by the way. Tithe is a tenth. But anyway, in other words, money is not an issue in your life, and you can just give it. That is operative in our fellowship, I believe. And I'm thankful for that. So, we're having all sufficiency. If grace is abounding, we have contentment in all things. And you know what? We can abound to every good work. Why? Because grace allows us to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." In other words, by the power of God, I can do what I am doing. That's what it amounts to. I am what I am. What am I like? Well, I have contentment. I have peace. I have the power of Christ. I'm not wringing my hands over my circumstances and situations. And His grace, which is bestowed upon me, is not wasted. You know, that's just like having a gas tank that's got a hole in it. You pump gas in it, you're wasting gas. It runs out on the street. You know, Paul received the grace of God, and God wasn't wasting His power. I just think, how often has God wasted His power upon me? Anyway, it wasn't wasted on Paul's life. What did he do? He received the grace of God, and he labored more abundantly. He was able to do more. And then they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It was the grace of God that allowed Paul to do what he did. You know what? The grace of God will allow you to do the same thing. Now, God hadn't called us to be apostles or to necessarily do what Paul did. But you can serve God without wasting His power here in Minneapolis and anywhere in the world for that matter. Now, one of the things that the grace of God encourages us to do is to endure. I'm looking at Romans chapter 6, verse 14, a little different than I have in the past. Okay? It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." You know, a lot of people talk like that. Oh, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. And I thought, and that is active today. Talking to my sister. That's going on in the fellowship where she is. They're not under law. They're under grace. So, if I was in the fellowship, I'd be asking questions. Oh, that means that you have permission to commit adultery. Oh, you have permission to steal. Because you're not under the law. See? Now, looking at this verse a little differently, "For sin shall not have dominion over ye, for ye are." That's a present active of Amy. Ye are. That is translated endure. It says here, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye endure not by means or by the dominion of the law." In other words, you cannot endure by behaving yourself. That's the way I'm looking at that verse. You cannot endure just being good or being righteous. You need more than behaving. In fact, it says, "Ye are under the dominion of grace." You see that? "For sin shall not have dominion over you, neither the law is to have dominion over you, but grace is to have dominion over you. And if grace has dominion over you, you can endure. You can make it because you have the power of Christ." When I'm behaving myself, it's me that is behaving myself. I'm being obedient. And being obedient, I don't know of a verse that tells me I need grace to behave or be obedient, but I'm sure that it does sometimes. But the point is this, I can do right. And there are plenty of people that are doing right at times. So, we need grace to endure. Ephesians 2:8, I believe, is also teaching us that grace is essential if we expect to endure. "For by grace ye endure." the way it reads, really, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The word "are ye" is the same word, it's the present active of "aimi," and it's translated "endure" in Mark 4:17. And so, therefore, by grace ye endure, having been saved. The word "saved" is a perfect passive participle. That means you're saved in the past and you're still saved today. So this is not talking about getting saved. This is talking about saved people and the grace of God. And what does saved people do that use the grace of God? They endure. And how do you get the grace? By faith. So I translated the verse for myself. It says, "For by grace through faith ye endure, having been saved." I think that's what that verse is saying. It's by grace. And I get that grace by faith. And I will endure. I can endure, having been saved. Now, by the way, again, we access the grace by faith. Romans 5:2, which we've already looked at. "By whom," that is Jesus Christ, our high priest, "also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." Now, we're to endure afflictions. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endure a great fight of afflictions." I just think of this, the word "illuminated" here has to do with the Word of God. When you started seeing precious truths out of the Word of God, that's when trouble began. That's all there is to it. When you see the value of the grace of God and pursuing the kingdom first, that's illumination. And that illumination is going to cause conflict. We think about conflict about the derelict on the street, but let me tell you, it's the conflict in the family. It's the conflict in the family that we have to endure. Ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both of reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. In other words, you come to know kingdom truth, those in the family are going to ridicule and put you down and put you out and exclude you. And you know what? You need the grace of God to endure that. I tell you, it doesn't bother me for a drunk to cuss me out. But a cousin in the family... And I'm using that term because a brother is one who's seeking to enter the kingdom. A cousin in the family, they may not be seeking to enter the kingdom, but a brother is. But so what I'm saying, somebody in the family finds out that I am seeking to rule and reign over him. Wait a minute. Everybody rules and reigns. That's the quote of the day for everybody. Everybody rules and reigns. That's not true. Okay? Now, not only that, reproaches and afflictions, but you're just associating with somebody that believes that, you're in trouble. And you need the grace of God to endure that. 1 Peter 5:10 says, But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his age-lasting glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect," that is, complete, "establish you, strengthen and settle you." You know, he's the God of all grace. The grace of God will keep you steady. I just think about something resting upon me. I guess the grace of God's pretty heavy, because that way he keeps me settled. I'm not bouncing around. I'm established. That's pushing the envelope, looking at it that way. But the point is this, he is the God of all grace. You're going to suffer. But let me tell you, those reproaches, afflictions, and sufferings for his coming kingdom and glory are going to make you complete. It's going to establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. And we need that in our life. I just think about the church at Thessalonica. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2, grace and peace, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew the church at Thessalonica needed grace and peace. Why? We're bound to give thanks. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Notice that they are seeking to enter the kingdom, their brethren, as it is meet or fit, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Notice that this grace is growing exceedingly and love is abounding. Did you know that grace, or that faith, doesn't work apart from love? That's what it tells us in Galatians 5. Faith that worketh by love. Both were abounding. They were abounding in faith and they were abounding in love. So he's rejoicing in that fact and thanking God for that. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience, that is, endurance. That's the word endure. It's not the same word endure as in Ephesians 2:8, okay? This is a different word. It's hopomone, to abide under. And faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. This word is different than the other one. This is the word that means to put up with. That's how it's also translated. In all your persecutions and tribulations that you put up with. There are times we just have to put up with it. It's not going to change. It's not going to go away. You just have to put up with it. You just have to allow it. And go on. And how can you do that? You have to know that these things that come about are just simply a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. When there's nothing you can do about it, you can thank God that this is something that God has decided for you and you need to accept it. Okay? It's the righteous judgment of God that He may count you worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. He's making plans for you when you're going through troubles and trials and testings. He's making plans for you for His coming kingdom. You just need to put up with some things for a while. Things are going to change. Trouble now, blessings later. Okay? So the kingdom is coming. Now, we need to endure. Timothy tells us, if we suffer, a better translation in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Did you know denying Him is to forsake enduring? You quit. Deny Him is to quit. Paul tells us, or told those to whom he was ministering, in Acts chapter 13:43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. We need to continue in the grace of God. It's not an event. It's an ongoing thing. We need to continue receiving His grace. And let me warn you, you can fall from grace. We can fall from grace. Galatians 5:4. Christ's ministry, this is talking about His ministry, is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. As you know, you don't have to go to the throne of grace to live just. You don't have to. You just be obedient. And if you're under the law, you're not going to be justified because it doesn't require additional grace. And it says if you are justified by the law or under the law, you're fallen from grace. If you think you have enough by just being, you don't beat the old lady and you feed the kids, you know, that type of thing, that don't work. Okay? Now, In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it talks about falling or failing the grace of God, or being in want of the grace of God. Looking diligently, Hebrews 12:15, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby defile many. We can fail or be in want of the grace of God. We need to know that, so that we will continue to focus our thoughts on the fact that we need to be at the throne of grace, and that grace needs to be in charge. Now, the word of His grace will do something for us. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, notice He's talking to those that are seeking to enter the kingdom. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. What is the word of His grace? What will it do for me? It'll build me up. It won't tear me down. It'll build me up. And not only that, it will give me an inheritance. Inheritance where? In the coming kingdom. And that's where we want our inheritance, is in the coming kingdom. And among all of them which are sanctified are ones being made holy. Holy ones. Now, I want to close with this. I was looking at last words. You know what the last verse of the Bible says? That's Revelation 22:21. You know, we talk about last words. You know what God's last words to us are? Right there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know what? What was on God's mind when He finished writing the book? You all need the grace of God. And you need it all the time. I'm just thinking, I'm going to add a few verses to our thoughts this morning. It says, many are called, but few are chosen. And we know that we've been called unto His kingdom and glory. But you know, in the last days, the many that have been called, their love is going to be affected by the lawlessness of our day. Matthew 24:12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold. If our love waxes cold, what happens to our faith? It doesn't work. If our love waxes cold, we will lose our love for the truth. Our love waxes cold when we do not have a desire for the truth of the Word of God. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, Paul and I were talking about it, and I thought I'd use it today. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That's in the future tense. That salvation has to do with ruling and reigning in His coming kingdom. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That's the salvation, the so great salvation. That doesn't have anything to do with our spirit salvation or our common salvation. I have that now. That's not future. It's now. So we need to be encouraged to what? To endure. We need His grace to do that. May God help us to have grace where we can please God. Father, we thank You for Your Word. That helps us to focus on what's important to You and what's important to us. We need grace if we want to stand in Your presence approved. We need grace to serve You acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We need grace if we expect to endure to the end. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to find the grace that we need in time of testing and trials and tribulations that will come our way. We know, Lord, that it's not only Your will for us to believe, present tense, in You, but to also to suffer for Your sake. So we pray You would bless us in these days. Help us to remain focused on the grace of God, which is the power of Christ. We need it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.